Okie dokie. Actually, before I go on to the software update, I'm going to change the order. I was just on Facebook, I put, why do we do this on a Thursday at 1 o'clock? There's only one thing that I can think of that would be why we would do these calls in the middle of the day. And that's because we're business people and I may want to interview other business people. It's more business-like, I guess, if I'm going to interview the Prime Minister or not, I'm never going to do that, but some important person, mm-hmm. they're more likely to give us a time slot in the middle of the day than they are at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
That's really the only reason I can think of. Because otherwise, most spending planners have got other things that they do, and 1 o'clock isn't that great a time. I mean, there's 10 of us there now, including me. And a lot of feedback has come in on that Facebook page, and it would appear to me that everybody's saying an evening would be better. So I don't think interviewing somebody is such a big reason for some other important person or whatever. And if it came to it, well, we could probably do a special one. So I think I'll make the announcement between now and next month that we will change our time. That's where I think we're up to. All right, so today, software update, a little bit of news and an interview and the webinar timing, which I've already sort of covered. So software, and everything we do has to have a goal. So I have a goal to reach 1,000 software users by the start of 2020, currently sitting at 423 or thereabouts. So a little way to go, but hey, set a big, hairy, scary goal and go for it. So with regards to software, you probably all would have seen the email I sent out early in June saying it's time we had a clean up.
Done nothing, sorry.
I've gone muffly.
No, I've done nothing about it.
Oh.
Whoops.
Well, I was just going to say, do something about it.
Yes.
Or you're going to lose any demo accounts. A lot of people have emailed in and said, oh, can I keep these ones and you can delete those ones. It's exactly what I wanted. Because I don't, if you've got demo accounts, you're going to hate me if I delete them. So I don't want to do that. But just a little gentle reminder, I'll give you another couple of days grace. I'll send out another email and then I'm going to go in and just dump what I haven't been told to keep.
Okay.
All right. And the other thing that I did software related, you all know that for a long time, there's been no connection between payments and people signing into the software. So, Kathy is forever chasing people whose credit cards bounce for various reasons. The reasons can be it expired, it was lost, it was stolen, somebody hacked into their account. It's not always because they haven't got the money. It's probably only 50% of the time when people's $10 doesn't go through that it's just because they don't have the money. But Nick and I have worked out a way using the current system that we've got without making too many changes at all to actually let the system know who's current, who's financial and who's not. And from your perspective, the thing that's going to be an amazing standout for you is, how most of your clients will ask you, how come I'm provisional? That will actually go away and it will actually say that they're active when they're active and say that they're not active when they haven't paid. So that's not too far away. There was just one other thing on software and the thought just came to me and it just left me. So it might come back. Any other questions about software matters?
I just have a question about accounts, David. I'm just wondering because I'm in mine at the moment and there are just like, the vast majority of my clients are still on provisional and I don't quite understand why they haven't been switched to active. Like I've got a small handful that are active. But
yep. The reason is because about a year ago, or that probably might even be a year and a half ago, I gave up spending hours every week going in and looking in my payment system and seeing who's paid, who started paying. And then logging into Spending Planner and logging into their account and changing. It was just such a time-consuming thing that I just went, oh, I've got better things to do with my time.
Right, okay.
I just stopped doing it.
Doesn't mean anything.
no, it doesn't mean anything. And I said to Nick, can we just hide that? And he said, yeah. No, unfortunately, we can't.
Right.
But okay. As a result of a conversation we had a couple of weeks ago, a penny dropped and we went, oh, this would be so easy. I can export every month the people who paid, and he's going to make a system where we can just import that straight into the system, and it'll say, this person's financial. I can't believe how simple it's going to be considering the amount of time we've spent thinking about different ways to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Any other question marks, questions about software? I've got quite a long list I've got Nick working on. And as of the 1st of July, he no longer works in his previous job full time. He is actually working for them only 15 hours a week. So we will get a lot more out of him, which is a really good thing.
That's awesome.
Okay. So Spending Planners Institute, the goal of the Institute is to build a profile. What my goal is with you guys is to build a profile of the Institute as the go-to organization for sensible money solutions and information. And you probably got an email saying, hey, we're a survey. We want to find out about next annual conference, what you guys want. It would appear that most people think it is logical to be January, February, start of the year. And there's no reason to throw out the baby with the bathwater. What we've been doing seems to be right. I asked for suggestions for keynote speakers, have had a few, which are leads that I'm following up. And we'll be making an announcement very soon about the next annual conference and getting towards that. Some of you may recall, if you were at the annual conference this year, that I said that I want to have a leadership conference next year. And I actually had a slide of a cruise ship that I didn't quite get to put into here, but I definitely have a goal to have a leadership conference for anybody who's got more than a certain number of clients. And I'm thinking about 50. And I'm also thinking I want to take some people for free. And I'm still crunching the numbers on that. Anthea, you're probably thinking, geez, he takes a long time to crunch the numbers, because I know you asked me that question a long time ago. but yeah, I want to take as many people as I possibly can. And I want it to be an incentive that gets people to go, you know what, that's a goal that I really want to achieve. And I've just got to set the bar at the right level. So watch this space. All right, Carol and I have been working diligently on getting this podcast up and running. And the address is anchor.fm/write-on-the-money. Or you could just go to Spending Planners Institute and click on podcast, which might be easier. What we've done, because Carolyn's been doing a course with a lady called Anne-Marie Cross, and she's better known as the Podcasting Queen. And we've been working on setting up a free series that we're going to give away as an enticement for people to come and sign up for the podcast, because we want to get more and more people to know about us. The whole purpose of the podcast is to get word out there on the street about what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of effort has been going into that, and we're just about ready to do I already told you guys months ago that it's there, but we realized we needed to do something a little bit grander than just telling you guys that it's there for a launch. So that's not far off now. Okay, so in the email that went out this week announcing we were going to have this monthly webinar, it said that I was going to be interviewing somebody, and that somebody is Sherry Dumbrell. Sherry, are you there?
I am here, David.
Cool. All right. What's the date today?
The 4th of July.
And your American accent says that date should mean something to you.
Yes, I'm celebrating independence of my home country, but I'm also having my clients celebrate independence of money stress.
Cool.
And to, if they aren't already on a spending plan, to
they should be.
Get to it. Yes, exactly.
All right. Now, the reason that I wanted to interview you today was basically because, you've been hanging around spending planning for a little while now, but as an associate, and at the start of this year, you became a certified, fully fledged spending planner, and you've hit the ground running, And the way that you're approaching your, I'll call it your marketing, the way that you're doing what you do is rather unique. I haven't seen anybody else do this. And I thought it would be really worthwhile you sharing how you do it with others who might go, you know what, that's something that I could try or something that I could do. And so, we had a chat a little bit earlier today, and I said to you, you know, the way I look at what you're doing, I'd call that party plan. And you said, well, no, I wouldn't call it party plan. But if I say that, that gives people an idea of, you know, the Tupperware and the all those other things. Tell us what you're doing and why it's not exactly party plan. But I really want you to share the way that you're approaching this. It's really innovative.
Okay, well, anybody who has known me knows that I love to learn. And when I find something new, all my friends, all my family, anybody that I talk to, I tell about it. Mm-hmm. And so when I became a fully certified spending planner, and even as an associate, I was telling everybody about what I've been doing for the last 16 years since 2003, when I started with Simply Budgets, mm-hmm. and just telling people. And they say, oh, and then they'll say, oh, so-and-so needs this. And so then I just thought, well, how about if I meet up with you and you can invite some family and friends over and I'll do an information presentation and let you and your friends know what I do.
All right. So that's why I thought it sounded a bit like a party plan, because you're going into people's homes and they're inviting friends.
Yes. Okay. But I also, just from Michael Griffiths, I've went to quite a few of his presentations. One was at last year's, but I've also had a few one-on-ones with him. And mm-hmm. the thing that really stuck out to me is we need to do things en masse. And yeah. so yeah. by having just one-on-ones with people when it's just them, I mean, that's fine and I do that. But if I can get them to get a few friends or family together as well, and we do it at the same time, then I'm just being a lot more effective and getting a lot more prospects a lot faster.
David, sorry, but there's a really bad echo on the line.
Okay.
So I don't know if she's got a microphone open or something.
Hang on a sec.
The echo can happen if lots of people are unmuted, so I just recommend everyone mutes themselves and that will probably solve that problem.
I wonder if I've now plugged in headphones, that might have resolved the problem that was going through my speakers before. Has that improved, Heather?
It was all right when you were talking, it was more when Sherry was talking.
Yeah, that's probably because it was going out of my speakers into my microphone.
Ah, okay.
All right, so where were we? Michael Griffiths.
Yeah, people doing en masse. Things en masse. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, how hard is it to get people to invite their friends along? I kind of wonder whether that's an easy thing to do.
Oh, I find it really easy.
Do you give them a format for inviting people, or what do you do? How do you do that?
Yeah. So what I do is I just, once they say, yeah, I know, you know, and a lot of them, they'll say, oh, my kids need this or whatever. I create all my marketing is on Facebook. I don't have any other marketing. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, well, I will create an event, Facebook event page. And I add them as the host or add them on that. And then I invite them to add their friends to that event.
Okay.
I also have people who are waiting and wanting to go to one of these events. They may not feel comfortable having a one-on-one initially. And so but they're happy to go to one of my, and I call it Essential Money Talks. My business name is Essential Spending Planner. And so it's just Essential Money Talks is what it is.
Yeah.
And we're basically and that name is that we're just going to have a talk about money. And so, yeah, so they invite, I'll say, hey, you know, depending on the room in their home, I'll invite some people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then on that event page, I will post things leading up to it. So, you know, every it depends on how long we have before it, I will put some posts up there that gives them a little bit of, you know, meat to chew on. Mm-hmm. And I'll put testimonials of mine and really get the excitement going within that event page.
Okay. So, and I didn't quite find out from you before. Do you actually give, like, and I've got to admit, I'm a bit of a Facebook event kind of newbie. So do you give your host a script for what they should put, or is the process of setting up an event not require that?
I actually set the event page up for them. I have a flyer that I use for all of mine, so I just have to delete the address and the time and date. And so I do that all for them, which okay. takes me just a couple minutes. I also encourage them to...
Hang on a second. I'm just going to mute the whole bunch of time if I can find them, because there's a lot of background noise coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, there is.
And Sherry, I just got to unmute you. Okay, that'll be better.
Okay.
So you set it all up for them?
Yeah, I have just a picture, one that I do, a flyer. I also invite them to private message their people individually because a lot of people might be on Messenger but not on Facebook. Okay. And so I ask them to do that, as well as initially, and the most important is to do it face-to-face, you know, a personal invite.
Yeah.
You know, there's email, do it by email, text message, Messenger, whatever. But the Facebook event is the main kind of hub
yep.
for their event of advertising.
There's definitely power in that, because I know there are plenty of times where I've seen an email of something 3 or 4 or 5 times, you know, this event's on. And I've gone, oh, yeah, I'm interested in that. But if somebody actually rings me up and says, hey, are you going to this? Then I actually go, oh, I've got to actually say, yes, I'm going. And then I am going.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of just procrastinating about going.
Yes. And if people have commented on the event, but I haven't seen that they've said they're going, I will actually private message them, introduce myself. I do a lot of personal one-on-ones with anybody who interacts with me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. If they like a post, I will thank them. If they haven't liked my page, I will invite them to like my page. I want them to know that I am behind those posts.
Yep.
And that builds that relationship of trust okay. a lot faster.
All right. So you've got a system for getting people who say, yes, I'll have one of these, I'll call it an event.
Yes.
For reaching out to their friends and getting people along. What sort of percentage turn up do you find? How's that?
Oh, I get at least 6 to 10 at my events,
mm-hmm.
Which is a good number because, you know, that's just... You know,
well, if we're talking somebody's lounge room, you probably can't put 20 in there. So
that's right. That's and right. It's usually 6 that are coming plus me and plus the host.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really nice number. It's very intimate. Yet on the other hand, it's not confronting being one-on-one. I remember my first one, you know, husbands and wives, I invite them to come together. And there was one and he very clearly said that I'm not a public person. I don't speak, you know, about his finances. And so that was a good kind of environment for him to come to, but there's no expectation that they have to divulge any. I may ask questions like, what are your financial pitfalls? But, you know, there's no requirement for anybody to interact. They could just sit there and listen. And it's interesting because by the end, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, are they just so bored? And then I, you know, do my thing at the end and they've all just been so enthralled with what I've been telling them because yeah. it's so exciting and they start opening up as the presentation goes on.
All right. So let's talk about what you put in your presentation that gets them so excited.
Yep.
Do you work on facts or do you work on emotions or both?
I do both. I first of all, in my, one of my first slides is a picture of my Facebook because I want them to act. I want them to get on their phones right then and go and like my page if they haven't already. because they would be invited to an event, but not necessarily they haven't liked my page. And so that's my first thing. And then I start off with talking about their common pitfalls. Now, generally, they're there because they know they have a common pitfall of why they're not being successful with money. But I just spend a few minutes on the main pitfalls that that I have encountered as I've been mentoring clients. And they come down to self-entitlement, that they deserve, that they needs to buy something, whether they can have the money or not. Their head in the sand mentality, which leads... Both of those lead to debt. And another one is I just tell them, I'm going to tell you the truth about money and I'm going to tell you how to be honest with your money. And that's how I base my whole presentation on, is being truthful and honest about their money. And I tell them I'm not being paid by anybody. I'm just going to tell them the bare truths because they've been lied to by consumerism. Okay. They've been deceived. And so after the pitfalls, I just quickly then ask, if you don't change, then how are you going to, where are you going to be in 1 to 5 years? And then I say, well, where do you want to be in 1 to 5 years? And I mention a little bit about mindset, because no matter how great the spending plan software is, if humans operate it and if they don't have the right mindset, then nothing's going to be lasting. They have to change their mindset. So I just introduce a little bit of what I do in my mentoring for mindset, and then I just tell them that I have an answer for them. Mm-hmm. And I just briefly tell what a spending plan is in regards to the difference between a budget and a spending plan. I then explain some benefits of having a spending plan. Benefits of having a spending planner.
What do you say the differences are between a budget and a spending plan? Not that I don't know, but I've just...
Yeah. First of all, is that it's forward planning, that we're not stuck in the past. The past is the past. Yes, you need to learn from it, but you only need a few minutes to learn from it. Mm-hmm. You need to spend the remainder of your weekly finances on your future. And it will show you how you can pay your bills, not that it's just possible. Right. And I explained to them that their awareness of their finances will heighten dramatically even after the end of that presentation or their first session with me, that it is actually life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I also just tell them then after I've explained the benefits of having a plan and a spending planner, part of that is I tell them what value they will get for me so that they can see that it's a huge value. So when I do actually show the price, most of my clients say, is that all? And I say, yes, that's all. Because I built it up so much of what they get. And plus, I do give great value to my clients.
So you're doing your presentation. I just want to pull you back there. You've done your little educational bit. How do you then switch into the, I provide a service and you can, engage my services if you like. Is there any special way that you do that, or you just hit them with it, or?
You mean after I talk about the benefits of a spending plan, then I talk about accountability, and that accountability is really important, that just because we're adults doesn't mean that we aren't accountable. In fact, we probably need to be more accountable than when we were younger. And so I express that importance of being accountable and invite them to be accountable to their spouse or to a friend, but that I also offer a service of accountability. So my presentations aren't about, they can leave and decide, hey, this isn't for me, but they're going to leave with some concepts and things that they can do better.
Right.
But of course, I let them know that I'm great at giving helping them achieve their goals. And
so I asked you earlier, do you work on facts or emotions? How do you work the emotions? Like, what do you do in that regard?
In regards to the with the pitfalls, I will go around and ask what their major pitfall is, because I would have shown them kind of a list of the common ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they will express that, and in their expression you will hear their emotion of what that does to them.
Yeah.
And so it's that, and then as well as When I'm explaining what the cost is, I'm just saying, well, what is it costing you if you don't do something about it?
Right. And
usually the cost that I present, they're easily wasting that money on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I just give them the courage. And my best saying that I give to them is, you need to multiply your time and money today by giving yourself emotional permission to invest today so that you have more tomorrow. And so I tell them it's going to take time for them to create a spending plan, but it's the smartest way they can spend their time right now, because then once it's up and running, you will spend minimal time on your finances and you will achieve goals that you never would have been able to without it.
All right. So how do you actually sell then? So you basically bring in the accountability, and that this is what I do and you need to get a spending plan.
Yeah.
So what happens after that? What's the go?
Well, I think it was a video that you did. I use a lot of your resources because I figure, why reinvent the wheel when you have so many great resources on the Resource Center. I've been getting your emails for 16, 17 years. And
you're a very tolerant girl.
And so I love to, look at those and tweak them and use them. And one of them was, if you have a health problem, you go to the doctor. If your car's broke down, you go to the mechanic, and so on. And so I kind of give that little analogy before I talk about that it's going to cost to have my services, to help it put it into perspective that money is affecting every area of their life, and yet that's the one area they don't tend to think they have to spend money on.
Yep.
And then I bring into the thing of, how much do you waste? Could you easily spend this money each week? And they all go, oh yeah, if I don't do anything different, yeah, I can waste that. Well, and so I help them think how they can afford this before I even show them the price. And then, so when they see the price, and I also mentioned, because in my presentation, I talk about one way they can just even, if nothing else, when they leave tonight, they can call all their providers and see if they can get a better deal.
Yep.
And I have many that have saved, and one that saved up to $6,000 a year just because she made phone calls. Right. And so I help them understand that they're going to save money straight away. As soon as they go home, they can start saving money, which will allow them to have that into their my services, into their plan.
So I've just got one question. I should have asked this question earlier. So you're in someone's lounge room and there are guests sitting in the lounge chairs listening to you. Do you have any visual aids? Do you have a computer screen? What do you do?
Oh yeah, I run a PowerPoint. Every presentation I do is generally a little bit different. I tweak it just because I know who's going to maybe be there, and it depends on, like I just did one on the weekend. My husband and I oversee about 2,000 young single adults from the age of 18 to 30. And so we had workshops, and I presented, I did 3 workshops. And so I tailored that to their need. Mm-hmm. But generally it's generally the same, but I will tweak it with every presentation if I feel the need that I need to do that.
So let's talk about the logistics of that. So you've got to find a spot in the lounge room where you can put a computer screen where people will actually be able to see it, and it'll be big enough for them to see the details, or?
No, most people have a TV, and I will contact them beforehand, and they usually have an HDMI, and I just plug it straight in into my computer.
Okay.
And so I'm just sitting either to the right or the left of the computer. I have a little lap thing that I sit my thing on, and I just go through the presentation. Or it's just sitting on a table. I'm usually standing because I prefer to stand. I can become more involved. And so I'm doing that. If not, if they don't have one, I do have a TV that actually one of my host actually said, hey, do you want to take this home? I have so many TVs, you can just take it. So I do have a backup that easily goes in my boot, that if they don't have it, and I will bring it as a backup because I know it works. And so, but usually everyone has a TV, a big screen TV, and they have an HDMI, but I always carry an HDMI with me so that I can just plug it straight on in.
Cool. All right. I just suddenly thought, oh, people might be wondering, you know, what this actually looks like, but that answers that.
Yeah.
So what's your goal? At you know, you want everyone to do business with you, but how does that, what does that look like?
Yes. Well, my goal of the actual Essential Money Talks event is first, I'm just educating, giving free financial literacy. And so I mentioned a bit about the bank structure, if nothing else, and it's more from your nuts and bolts email series, where if nothing else, to help them understand that you need a bill account that's separate from their spending account. And so I just give education first. Then I educate them on the difference between a budget and a spending plan. My goal for the night is to have them book a one-on-one with me so that we can talk more privately and to see their situation and as well as invite them to have an Essential Money Talks in their home and then be a host. They have a clipboard with a piece of paper with some papers on it. And one of them is just a blank piece of paper with names that as they are listening to my, they're listening to my presentation, they'll have names come to their mind of, oh, so-and-so. Cause we often sometimes when we're hearing things, oh, so-and-so rather than thinking
me,
it's me.
Yep.
And so they're basically writing their guest list for their own Essential Money Talks or for them to share and invite their friends to like my Facebook page.
Right.
And I so have
you're not trying to sell to them from the floor, so to speak.
No. I give them the price, but I do no selling. All I'm trying to sell is a one-on-one with me and or to have host their own. Because sometimes wives will come without their spouses. And so that's an opportunity for them to come see it, they can go home and talk to their spouse, say, oh, it's really good, let's have it.
Yep.
And so then that's a way for their spouse to hear it.
Right.
I also have a form that's on the clipboard which asks, are you interested? So I do get a commitment from them if they're interested and want to learn more, if they're interested in having a one-on-one with me, if they are interested in hosting an Essential Money Talks, and also what any comments that they learned from the night. And that's really fun to read because they,
from your perspective afterwards or do you share that around?
No. That's just for me. So I can see, because that helps me gauge
how well you're going.
Yeah. And what they got out of it.
All right. So they're basically writing down names of people that they think, oh, so-and-so needs this information. Mm-hmm. And then you say, okay, so who would like to have an appointment with me to have a chat? And that's just what you do that on Zoom. You don't do that face to face or?
If they're local, I will do it face to face. I have, I'm North Brisbane. I actually did a conference down about 2 months ago to about 100 women. And so that's down like near Regent's Park, Logan. So I do go down there maybe once every 2 weeks and do all my face-to-face first appointments.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do, if they're local, I'm willing to drive. Luckily I have a hybrid and I'll go and I'll meet with them face-to-face. If not, if it's not possible, then yes, we do a Zoom for the first one.
Okay.
But I find that the face-to-face is really good for them. It helps us to really get to know each other and build that relationship and trust. And also I can teach them how to use Zoom because some people, they're not computer tech. And so by the time I've gone, they know how to do that so that they're ready for that next session.
Righto. There's something else that I think that you're doing. You're actually setting them up with an account in the software for every one of them, aren't you? For them to have a play around with it or?
No, What I do is with that first one, I'm actually doing a demo with their essential expenses only. Now, I got that idea from Carolyn when she, when she said that at conference. Mm-hmm. And so what I find that that does is it qualifies them to see if they're even going to put in work to do a spending plan.
So this is that first meeting you have individually with them?
Or yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So they get a little bit of a to see what the power it can do with their essentials only, which of course is only about a third of their expenses, but at least it gives them a good idea of, and basically all I'm showing them is the plan. I don't go in and describe all the whole thing. It's just mainly just to show them the potential and the power that once they add in their others, once they decide to work with me.
Yep.
Most of the time I find you don't even have to ask them. They just say, what do we do to get started? They are so impressed with just that little bit of information that they just want to move on. But it also gives me an idea what their financial situation is.
Yeah. So these one-on-ones then, it's you've got a computer there and your intention is to actually start putting in some of their data.
No, their data is already put in by me. They have to get their data to me before the appointment. Okay. So they don't even book the appointment until they have their, and it's a simple A4 sheet. It's not the long one that we use. It just has the essential ones on it. And they fill that in. I use Google Drive with all my clients or prospects. And so I just share that document with them and they just fill it in directly on the document. And it only takes me, maybe 10 minutes at the most to fill it in before their appointment. So it's already done. So we don't spend a lot of time on the software. It's more just that and to then for me to see which service is best for them.
Right. So when you get together with them, that's already done. So is the first thing that you do, apart from the lovely weather chit-chat sort of stuff, do you then go straight into the spending plan and have a look at that with them, or do you have some other strategy that you use first?
I do a review of what they saw at Essential Money Talks, just a short review. If their spouse is there that wasn't at Essential Money Talks, then I'll do a little bit longer review just so that they're up to date. I mean, generally, the spouse would have filled them in, but I'll just highlight a few of the benefits of having a spending plan, which then I actually show them with their data in there. And I would say I probably have a 90% rate that will continue on.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I set up that initial account, it's more rare that I will call and say, okay, we can just delete that account.
Yeah.
Because I'll have a few demos within a few days. So I can't just use one demo account.
Yeah.
And then if they say, yes, that's ready, then what I do anyway is I will clear that all from them. I will take all those things out so that they can start from scratch.
So you make them put that information that you've put in back in again.
Oh, definitely. Because that's part of learning the software. Yep. It's not me to do it for you. I'm just showing you, but then I take it out so that they start watching the videos and they follow the instructions of how to do it.
Cool. All right. So I absolutely agree with you. If you're face to face with someone, there's a much bigger chance of them going, there's just something that happens face to face that you can't replace digitally across the internet through Zoom.
Yeah.
So they go, yep, we want to do this. And then, so you're modifying the steps and the process. So what's your, do you sort of fit back into the normal steps from there on? Or
yes, I do. Yeah. So that first one, once that I show them that demo, I get all the housekeeping taken care of in that appointment. So make sure they know how their computer set up for Zoom, that they know how to use Google Drive, because I use Google Drive as my, that's where their homework tasks are during the week, because they follow the steps, but everyone is different and they have different things they have to work on.
Yep.
So it's my communication. I don't do any email with my clients. It's all via Google Drive. And
you have a Google document, like a Word document in Google that you put
things. I have a folder. They each, whether they're a prospect or a client, as soon as they're a prospect, I create a folder, put in the specific documents that they'll need initially, and I share it with them.
Right, so that's the sign-up form and the disclaimer and the privacy and all that?
No, that's done by, I use Kartra, and that's done all via just they click a link and it takes them through that whole process. They fill those in before they actually pay for my service.
Right. Okay. So is there anything that I've missed that's, because what you're doing, it's quite easy for me to visualize the way you're doing it and understand how it works. I know, and I might even open it up for people to ask questions in a moment. I mean, once people have got their numbers into that software, it's really hard for me to imagine that they couldn't get excited at the, wow, this is the crystal ball that we've been looking for. This is what's been missing all along.
Yes. And the two things that it shows them that is mainly all I focus on is one, that they can afford their basics. Now, I've had some that they can't even afford their basics, their essentials. So that lets them really know, that really is that knife that turns in them that realizes, wow, I really need to do something about this, because they generally maybe didn't realize. But the other part, which is majority of them, is look at how much money is left over. And I use the movie Sliding Doors analogy a lot.
Yep.
We can go one way or the other, and they made choices in the previous of how they'd spend their money, but I'm going to take them all the way back so they can start making better informed choices. This is so the basics you have to do, but now let's look at the rest of the money that it says you have there to spend and challenge everything else that you want to put into this plan. Do you really, is it a real want, or is it just what you think you want, or just a habit?
Yep.
Just done it.
Just for those people that haven't seen the movie Sliding Doors, the movie actually has two stories running concurrently about a guy who missed a train or who caught a train, and how the different scenarios came out from that. Yep.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
Was the girl that caught the train.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just know Gwyneth Paltrow or whatever is in it.
Yeah. So. She missed the train. She didn't find out that her boyfriend was playing up on it. And then in the other half of the story, she caught the train and did find out. And yeah, so what you're saying is we're taking people through this. You know, if you make this decision, we can make a whole different future than the one that otherwise might have happened.
Yeah, we're going to start from the ground. We're going to start from the beginning because now you're more educated. You have some, you know, knowledge is power. And so we've helped them make better choices with the remaining expenses they put into their, which works in perfectly with prioritizing, color coding and prioritizing their expenses before they put them into the software.
Yeah.
The remaining ones.
All right. So is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you feel you need to share with everybody before I let them, if you're happy to take questions?
Yes. Just, I guess one thing is at the end of my presentation, I really want them to know that I am genuinely wanting to help them, because they're kind of sitting there going, I can't afford this. And that's where I want that one-on-one with them, because I then see what their finances is like. And if I can see they cannot afford my current, you know, my service, then I will create a customized plan for them. As long as they are proactive and really want to change, I will do whatever I can do to help them and to create a spending plan that will work for them.
Yeah.
And so that really, I make that really come across very strongly, that they know I'm not doing this. I work because I want to help people. The secondary is I make some money. But that's really huge for me. And they actually really feel that.
Cool. All right. I'm going to unmute all. Anybody got any questions? I can't imagine that there wouldn't be anybody with no question.
What sort of rate coming across and signing and going to the one-to-one, I guess, is the first question, Sherry?
I would say 9 out of 10.
From those meetings, from the initial meeting?
Mm-hmm. I would say 8 out of 10, 8 to 9 out of 10 would go forward.
That's a pretty good success rate.
That's excellent. Yeah. You're doing a very good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Sherry. Oh, sorry. Have I interrupted someone?
No. Go for it, Erin.
Okay. I was just wondering, with a turnout like that, how many people can you comfortably onboard at any point in time?
Oh, well, I have probably 15 to 20 kind of in the pipeline. Like I said, I just did a presentation on Saturday. I have about 30 leads. They all want one-on-ones.
Great.
They are all, and I have probably about 20 from my last one that I'm following up with. So with that one, I may be doing some group ones because they are all a certain niche or avatar. They are all single young adults, mm-hmm. which is the ones that I really want to, I've really wanted to work with because they're the ones that hopefully haven't got into too much debt already. And so I can kind of teach them. So with them, I may be doing some group one webinars every week, as well as some individual ones along the way, but to do, because I'll have a lot more clients, I am okay. En masse.
But around that 15 to 20 in that initial onboarding phase at any time.
Yeah, and I actually like to meet with my clients every week, even throughout the 6 months, if they're willing. I do this full time, but I find that usually I do it weekly for the first month or two. And then after that, we'll usually go to their pay cycle. And then we may go to there once a month. But if they're willing and they want a time with me, I'm willing to give them time.
Okay.
That means you've got a lot of people that you're communicating with every week, Sherry.
Oh, every Monday morning, I look through all my clients and I make contact with them to remind them of maybe their homework task that we discussed last time. I just make some contact with them. Same with prospects. With my really active prospects, I will make contact with them every week. If they're ones that I haven't heard from for a while, then I may leave it a month. And the latest would be 4 months if I'm just totally not here. After about a month on any correspondence, I will put, if you want to unsubscribe from further correspondence, I'll put that at the base of that at that point, but not until that point because I really trust that I can get a hold of them and have them commit to an actual time. But at my Essential Money Talks, I do have a calendar because there's a lot of time to follow up with people to actually book these appointments. So to actually have a calendar there and a pencil and just say, hey, pencil in a date. It's not confirmed, just pencil in a date, you're available. And then I also have an online booking link, which they can just go straight on and book when they're available.
Okay, wow, thank you. And then how many people on an ongoing basis? So obviously capacity is a big thing that I'm trying to work out at the moment. So how many people on an ongoing, so once they're already onboarded and they're into the groove, how many people do you think you can comfortably manage?
Oh, I could probably manage up to 40. It's just that when they're initially starting, that's when, if you think you have 20, because those are ones that you're going to have an appointment with every week. And then once they're kind of doing their thing, then that's when, I can spread out those things, things. So, yeah, I haven't got to I still have plenty of time to service my clients. And like I said, I service my clients quite regularly.
So Monday morning, you said before you don't email. So no. How do you communicate? Just put something in there. Dropbox, their Google Drive, or
I use Messenger a lot because then I have a visual record of all the things. I just don't like the email war going back and forth. I will use email if I don't get a response on Messenger. Mm-hmm. I will also text them. So those are my three kind of ways. I will try all avenues to try and get a hold of them. Mm-hmm. But usually Messenger is where most of my clients and I communicate on.
Okay, so that, I guess, raises one question that we didn't look at before. You're having a great success rate at getting people onto the program. What sort of a drop-off rate? How are they all seeing it through and making the changes, or, surely not everybody changes their life?
Yeah, I have a 100% success rate where everyone finishes the program. Mm-hmm. I've only had one. But hers was a real mindset issue. And she actually accused me of going into her bank accounts and changing, doing things to her bank account. Okay. I just found that she was very forgetful right. and also had a real hot temperament at times. And so when she accused me of doing that, I just returned her money. I just said, and she said, I can't afford you, even though I was giving her a very good rate because of her situation.
Yep.
I just returned her money and, you know, I keep contact with her. And so, but other than that, all my clients have worked through the whole program. I get a testimonial from them within the first month
mm-hmm.
While they're creating their plan, because that's when they're so excited.
Yep.
And then I continue to get additional testimonials as the time goes on, and we update that. And those are, I get them to do that. And I'll actually ask them if it's okay when I ask them in my weekly sessions with them or my session with them. I know I'm going to ask them a question that's going to ask for a testimonial. I'll ask if I can record it on Zoom. I'll just ask them some questions. They'll record it. I'll then dictate it into a paragraph, send yep. it to them for their approval. Do you mind if I post this as a,
testimony.
You know, yep. as a testimony? And then I actually ask them just to copy and paste and put it as a testimonial. So I make it really easy for them. And it's benefiting me. And so testimonials are really huge, and they're the ones that, you know, I kind of say, oh, okay, now who do you want to tell, you know?
Right. Okay. Any other questions? We're out of time. I actually have to make a call very shortly, a phone call. So,
how many of these events have you had to date, Sherry?
Oh, well, I started in February. I was trained in February. Oh, ooh.
One a week, 50. Two a week.
Oh yeah, I would probably do 1 to 2 a week. And like I said, some are real en masse. I've had one, like I said, I did about 100. I did 4 workshops, one right after the other. And then on Saturday, I did 3 workshops, one right after the other. And that was probably about 70 people.
So that wasn't in someone's home, obviously. That was in
no
church
no.
or
yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, so I have a lot of mass ones, but then I also do the one-on-ones as well as the essential money talks.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a fairly well-known reputation amongst the community, your community.
Yes,
I do. So for somebody who's thinking, wow, I'd like to do this, give us some tips on how they can get started. What do they have to do?
Well, my target market when I first started was the people I love the most. Mm-hmm. You know, when I find something I want to share it with them. And so my family, and I've had a transformation in one of my daughters, and her husband just loves me. They are unified in their finances. So they're the first people I have. Then I go to my family and to my friends. And then they, of course, have people I am known in my, especially in my church community. People respect me. They know I have integrity. They know that I really genuinely want to help people because I've usually served them in the past in other things that I've learned about.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I come to them and ask them, they have total trust in me. And they do that. And so I would just say, look at the things you are already doing outside of your being a spending planner. What are the areas and places and the people that respect you already? You have the first part done. And, you know, just ask them. I mean, I have some close friends who, you know, haven't been interested, and that's totally fine with me.
Yeah. So they'd need to, if someone decided, yeah, I'm going to have a go at doing it this way, yep. they'd need to put together a presentation that they would feel comfortable delivering.
Yes.
You said you've got some handouty, sheety kind of things that you use for people to put names on and to book bookings in, and you've got your calendary thing, which these are all technical terms, by the way, calendary things.
Calendly.
yeah. You got the spare TV in the car. You've got the laptop computer with the HDMI cable and a clicker for your mouse, I guess.
Yep.
And then it's just a big dose of confidence and showing people that you care.
Yeah.
So what if I haven't got this reputation in any community that, you know, I'm a caring person, that I've got to start from scratch? You just get your friends and family and say, hey, can I practice on you in my lounge room or your lounge room with a little presentation that I'm thinking
I
want to do.
Yeah, and I've also approached, me and another spending planner working together, we've approached the local Shire libraries and put together kind of an idea to get it out there. But yeah, just get your close family and friends together first, because they're your A group, as Michael Griffiths said, and then they know your B group, and then they know the C group. And so it just, you have to start with those people you feel comfortable with at first, even to say, hey, I need to practice my presentation. Can we have something so I can practice?
Righto, I've got one last question for you. Why do people sign up for the one-on-one session?
Because I did no pressure selling in the information night, in the Essential Money Talks. There is, and I'm very, you know, I would never expect them to sign up for something they really don't know the details on. Same with me. And as you know, David, you know, I wanted to know every INT. I wanted to know everything before I became a spending planner. Mm-hmm. Because I teach them to really think through before they purchase something, I do not expect them to purchase anything right at that moment. And so that's why I give them that free service. So they totally know that I'm not there to take their money and make their financial situation worse. I'm actually there to make it better.
Mm-hmm. All right, because I guess what was in my head was there'll be people listening thinking, I don't know if I could sell. I don't know if I've got a message that I can sell people on. And you're basically saying, I'm not there to sell, I'm just there to educate.
Yes.
And so you've got those key points, self-entitlement, head in the sand, truthful and honest about money. They're the things that you're getting people to look at.
And I just tell them how exciting money is. all my clients are called, I have a separate form Facebook page that's Sherry's Happy Spenders, because they happily spend now because they know they have the money. They saved it first and now they spend. And so my enthusiasm is a huge thing in my, that's why I stand, because I like to be a bit animated. I really want them to get excited about their finances, that even though they might be feeling overwhelmed, that I have the answer to help them and I will hold their hand through that process to overcome those fears so that they too can be excited about their finances.
Awesome. All right. Well,
I'm happy if anyone really is interested in what I show with my presentation. I'm happy if you want to, I can get my Calendly appointment link and you can book in a session with me, and I can just, because I've done that with some others, and I'll just kind of show you basically. And if it, you know, even if it just helps you get some ideas. If you see my Facebook page, I am not a professional marketer. I use PowerPoint to create things. I use paint. They're very unprofessional, but that's okay for me. And I just post what I feel, and I don't look at a lot of other people's marketing, because you can, it's like that Facebook syndrome. You can think, oh, well, they're so much better. Oh, mine's so stupid. I don't do that. This is me. This is Sherry. They get me how I am. And, I'm just, yeah. So if anyone is interested, just please PM me, and I'm happy to give you the link, and I'm happy to spend a little time with you and show you
my presentation. I'm a little concerned for how busy you might get. Let me know if you get over busy, and maybe you should do a group session rather than...
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank you. That's very I really appreciate it. As a newbie, that's very nice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone. I think that was definitely worth listening into. And that's why I wanted to get Sherry to share, because she's...
That was just beautiful, Sherry. I just want to say, I just love your genuine, it's a beautiful approach that you have. And I certainly learnt heaps.
Yep.
Thank you, Anthea.
Cool. All righty. Onward and upward. Keep your 2020 vision going. Remember, we've got a big year next year. We've got lots of things that we're going to achieve. And I did have, just in case Sherry didn't talk that long, not that I thought that would ever happen, I was going to challenge some of you to start telling me about what you're doing towards your 2020 vision. I'll keep that for next month, which sounds like it's going to be on a Thursday or a Wednesday evening. I've got a Thursday night habit I might have to change, but we'll see. more in the mail. All right, everyone. Awesome. Thank you. I'll stop my screen share, which seems like it was a waste of time anyway, and stop the recording.